Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone to the house of the Lord. Welcome to the house of God. And also all of you watching right now online. Welcome. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. We had a great day today here in the house of God. We had a great fellowship after service. There was a celebration in the air. They were actually celebrating my birthday, which will be later on this week. But it was celebrated today. And I felt very much loved today. Praise God. I had the opportunity to enjoy a little nap this afternoon. So that is extra amazing every time that happens, especially on Sunday. And so we're ready for round two. Hopefully all of us had a restful day also today. Amen. And we are here back in the house of God once again to get a little bit closer to our Lord. Amen. 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 I'd like to get started right away in the word of the Lord here tonight. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Lord, Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we exalt you and we praise you. We thank you so much, Lord, for your love and your kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your grace over our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you pour over our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we bless your holy name for all that you do for us. I thank you, Lord, for the revelations of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for wisdom and understanding that you impart upon the saints, upon those, Lord, who are watching this right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have your way here in our midst. And Lord, I pray that as your word is being shared tonight, as we study, Lord, your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will be doing all the ministering, that you, Lord, will be speaking to your people. May your people, Lord, hear you and see you and not me. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Do you have your Bibles tonight?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
All right. Bible check. Okay. All right. Great. I receive the okay, and this is something that's been on my heart for a little while now. I wasn't 100% sure when I would do this, and I definitely didn't have any idea that I was going to be doing a series here for Sunday night. I like doing series, and especially Sunday nights, and we have series like on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. On Sunday evenings, it was basically wherever the Spirit leads, what he has for the church at that given moment. And I have the okay to do a series on a particular psalm that is very well known among the Christian brothers and sisters. As the Lord leads, I would like to teach on Psalms 91. Amen? And as the Lord leads, every Sunday night, I will develop a preaching on one particular verse. And today, we're going to start in verse 1. Amen? So please turn with me to Psalms 91. Amen. My digital brother is on point. Psalms 91. I'll give you a few more moments there to turn the page. Amen, amen. Amen. We're all familiar with Psalms 91, right? The very first verse here in Psalms 91 starts out by saying, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? Amen. As the Lord leads, as the Spirit leads, it is my desire to develop an entire sermon off of one verse. Typically what I like to do is I like to understand the Word of God. I like to research the Word of God. A lot of times, the way that I study, the way that I operate, I like to fully understand every single word in its fullest meaning and apply it to my life. And a lot of times, certain words have particular meanings that go way beyond what we would typically read just by skimming over the surface. For starters, I'm going to start out here by saying this. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High. We're going to start right there. I would like to ask you right now, who is this He? I think I heard two different answers right now. I hear a Jesus over there. I hear ourselves over this area here. Who else has an input?
The child of God, trust God.
The child of God, okay, the trust God. I love that answer. Any other input? Who is He? God. Okay. I want to say, and I love the variety of answers right now. All right, let me build a little bit of suspense right now. All you guys are correct. But I want to make one thing clear right now. He, to be more specific, is everybody. It is not just the Messiah. It is not just the pastor of the church. It is not just the leadership team of the church. It is all y'all. All of y'all. Everyone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts, who confessed that Jesus is Lord, which we're going to talk about here in just a few minutes, everyone who proclaims that Jesus is Lord, that loves God, you automatically are that person. You abide in that place. Now, one thing that I have come to realize is that the enemy, through playing mind games among the saints, specifically the saints, start planting things in our mind for us to think otherwise of ourselves, for us to think less of ourselves. It starts with the mind, and then it goes on to our emotions, and then because of our emotions, we translate that to our actions, which is unacceptable. But this is every single one of us. Right now, when this psalm was written, it is presumed that Moses not only wrote Psalms 91, which we're reading right now, but also Psalms 90 at the very beginning of the 40th year of the children of Israel walking around the wilderness. Do you understand? This is not like right in the beginning of their journey. This is not at the midpoint. This is right towards the end. And Psalms 91 was written to comfort the church in the wilderness while going through that 40-year trial. Understand the reason for this psalm. And to assure the children of God of every single age of God's providence for their earthly sojourns, earthly travels. This psalm was written for us right now for our day to day. I'm going to testify right now. If you live out Psalms 91 and make it a part of your day-to-day, I guarantee you, your day-to-day will change. It will change. This psalm was written by a man who had the stress load like you wouldn't believe. And he, when we talk about a peculiar people, he dealt with a peculiar type of people to the third degree, right? Extra special people. He needed God's grace over his life. Can I hear two amens?
Amen.
Amen. Now, if Moses wrote Psalms 91, understand one thing. All the scriptures quoted in our Lord's temptation, even the ones that the enemy had mentioned in that dialogue between the enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were all written by Moses. They were all written by Moses. The enemy quoted things that Moses wrote. Our Lord Jesus Christ combated the enemy with the Word of God, but the Word of God that was penned by Moses. What did the Lord say to the enemy? He said, thank you. My A student over here. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's move forward. We now have concluded that person that dwells in a secret place is you. Is there any questions about that? You dwell in that secret place. Do not let the enemy tell you anything of the different. So moving forward, how about this dwell? What does it mean to dwell in this secret place? Can you imagine what it is? Do you know what it's like? Do you know when you are dwelling in that secret place? It's important for you to know. Let me ask the question. I want to understand right now the audience and what you guys think right now. What do you think it's like when you are dwelling, when you are in that place? What do you think? And if it's okay for you not to know. But what does it feel like?
It feels like a permanent place.
Feels like a permanent place? Somewhere where someone cannot pull you out of. Is that what you mean? Someone can separate you, or
a place where you have relationship.
Relationship, okay. So it feels like a relationship, a feeling of relationship, commitment.
Yes, a committed relationship.
A committed relationship.
Yes.
Got it. I know what a committed relationship feels like, so I know what you're referring to. Any other input? And live? A place where you abide, a place where you live, okay? Security. Sense of security. What is it? Intimacy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is Sonora. Constant fellowship. Okay. Got it. Constant fellowship, constant dialogue, constant communication, a connection. I like it. Okay. Well, let me ask you this. What if you're not in your prayer closet? I can't be on my prayer closet every day, or else I'm not going to be productive, right? The feeling, okay. But what if per se there comes a time in a day that you are so busy that you can't spend time in prayer? or that you don't feel the intimacy because there's so much turmoil coming your way, right? Whereas you don't feel like you are at home. You know, you feel like a fish out of water, awkward, you know? I think you might have mentioned something similar to that. What if that happens? What if you have all these feelings? Because I could guarantee you, every single one of us here, I don't even have to ask, we have felt that way. We have felt abandonment. We have felt hurt. We have felt betrayed. We have felt alone, lonely, like a fish out of water. Does that mean that you are not dwelling in the secret place? Very good. You see, Hebrew, in the Hebrew, this is the word yashab, which means this, for dwelling. Here we go. You ready? To sit down. To sit down. You take a seat. And in other terms, to chill out. Just chill. Here's another one. To remain. To settle in the sense of taking up a homestead or staking out a claim and resisting all claim jumpers. Here's another definition. Here we go. To possess a place and live therein, which is what Brother Egbert mentioned. In so many words, dwell. He that dwells, meaning you just walked in somewhere, you just sat down, and now this is your territory, this is your space, this is your area, you have just taken over control, it is yours, and nobody can kick you out. And if somebody tries, they're going to get in trouble. This is what dwell means. Can I please have Psalms 123, verse 1, to give you an example of that word used elsewhere. Psalms 123, 1 says, "Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwells in the heavens." You notice that "you" right now is capitalized. Who is "you" right here? God. The "you" is capitalized, so it's God. It's God. "Oh, you Lord who dwells in heaven." You tell me, can someone pull God out of heaven?
No.
No way, no how. There is no chance. Right? No one is able to approach God in such a disrespectful manner to even try, fathom, or think to move God as he dwells in heaven. And this is the same word spoken to you. He who dwells. Amen? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. This is what it means. But maybe this might not be enough. Maybe you want a little bit more enlightenment, a little bit more understanding as far as this dwelling thing is concerned. Let's move over to the New Testament, shall we? Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And once we're there, we're going to read verse 15. 1 John 4. Amen. Are we there? All right. Let's read. Starting in verse 15. "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God." All right. "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides, God dwells in him. And that individual in God." Verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us." speaking of here right now, verse 15. For God is love. And that individual who abides in the love abides, who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Is it making a little bit more sense right now? Is this getting a little bit clearer? I read that very slow and I was explaining certain words here, but I feel as though I need to read all of this at once. I want you to really understand right now 1 John 4. Won't you put it up for me, please, once again on the live stream. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. This is talking about abide. Just by your confession. 16. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. You see there? Now one might ask, well, how is it that we abide in God? How does that work? What does that look like? Well, there it is right there. 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 15. And 16, it explains all of that in intimate detail. If you abide in love, you are automatically abiding in God. Do you know what it's like to abide in love? Yes. No? Thank you, Sister Helen. Sister Helen is the only one in here that knows how to abide in love. Is everybody here with me? Is everybody still digesting this morning's lunch? Everybody ate good today, yes? All right. What is it like to abide in love? What does that look like? Practical answers only. We're not picking fights, right? We're not looking for wrongs in people. That's abiding in love. Wanting to help others, to have a helpful, have like a servant nature, so to speak, right? Persona. What else? Giving. Giving of your time. Giving of your resources. Giving of your talents, right? Giving. What else? What is it like to abide in love, to show love? Man, this is a hard question, isn't it? Tough question, isn't it? I don't know. I just do it. It just happens. It comes naturally, Pastor. I don't know how to explain it. All right, I'll take that. That's fine. So then I'll just go with, you guys know what to do, right? It just comes naturally. Yeah. All right. Say it again. Abiding in love. Okay. The word of God will manifest through you, is basically what you're trying to say. All right, I'll take it. Praise God. You see, under the circumstances described right now, which first it says, a person verbally says, Jesus Christ is Lord. And they live that out. They accept the Lord in his or her heart, right? They confess that he is God, and wholeheartedly they give their life to Jesus. Under those circumstances, under the circumstances where they live in love, the Word of God says that Jesus, the ones who says that Jesus is the Son of God, this is a sign of the confessor enjoying a mutual abiding relationship with God. This is where it starts. It starts with you giving your life to Jesus. It starts with you allowing God to run your life and not your emotions. I tell you, before I gave my life to Jesus, I was a mean guy. I was a mean dude. And I hope you don't tell me you're still a mean dude. No, because I'm not. But I did not care who I offended. I did not care what I said or what I did. And God changed all of that around. It takes a change. It takes a process. It takes a conversion. Amen? Now, the declaration rounds off this section right now in verse 15 and 16. Basically, they're saying, we have come to believe. What does that mean? We have come to know through experience. We have come to rely on the love of God whom He has for us. You see, when you are living in the atmosphere of mutual Christians who love, all of this produces a personal knowledge of God's love and a fresh experience of faith that is in love. Paul even himself, he said, if I can do all these things and I have all this knowledge and I speak in all these languages of the angels and I have all these revelations, but if I have not loved, I am nothing. I have done absolutely nothing. Right? It starts out with love. And since God is love, one who lives in love lives in God, and God is abiding with him. And this is how you dwell. So, if I were to ask you this question now, what is it like to dwell? He that dwells in a secret place. Well, what is it like to dwell? What is your answer now going to be? What is now? What was your answer, Sister Helen?
To have love.
To have love. It's as simple as that. To have love. That's all. That's all you have to do is love. It's the greatest gift. You couldn't have said it better, sister. It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest gift that you can give someone. Love conquers all. Love does it all from top to bottom. When God shows you love, you melt. You're no more good. You're done. When you experience the love of God, that almost, it's overwhelming. It takes over when you experience this love. Equally, when someone does something to you that is loving, it stops you in your tracks. You feel it. You feel the emotion. Abiding is abiding in His love, dwelling. And John affirmed the reality of the abiding experience enjoyed by all Christians who love. Now, if you're the type of Christian that loves to gossip, if you're the type of Christian that loves to criticize, if you love to talk about people, if you always feel like you need to correct someone, you know, I could come up with so many things. You are not dwelling in that secret place. Sorry, but not sorry. Sorry to say. You want to dwell in the shadow of the Most High, in this secret place, there has to be love. Because God is love. You see how that works?
Yes.
Amen? Speaking of which, how about secret place? And this is going to be the last section here of Psalms 91 that I want to talk about. What is a secret place? I'll go straight to the answer here. It is the Hebrew word sether with a C. It is a covering, a hiding place. Amen. Can I have Psalms 31, please? Psalms 31:20. Psalms 31:20 says, "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of what? Tongues. The things that you say." Amen? I want to read that once again. "You shall hide them, you the Lord shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." You see, if you want to abide in the secret place, you're going to abide in love. And this love of God is going to protect you from every single scheme, from every single plot, from every single negative word spoken about you, from everything that is attacking your character, from everything that is attacking your feelings, and you name it, the list goes on. Notice how much God loves us. He is protecting us from top to bottom. And right now, King David honored the Lord for his protection of the faithful, in regard and for, in general, and for delivering him by his love, even though there was a time that David did not believe this could happen. See, all of this ties, all of this goes around a circle. It goes right back to the starting point. And it all abides in one thing, and that is love. Did you know that there was a time where David did not believe, did not think that God could deliver him? Now, mind you, David was a man. He was a human being just like we are. Just like you and I. He had problems just like everybody else, maybe a little bit more. I want you to listen right now to Psalms 31:22. You could go ahead and put it up. Psalms 31:22, it says, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication when I cried out to you." But David clearly says right now that in his haste, he believed that he would be cut off from the sight of God. And even in his doubt, God did not allow it. Why? Because of God's love for him and also for us. What is the shadow of the Almighty? This explains the secret place of the Most High. That is the shadow of the Almighty. It is under the Almighty's shadow that we acquire safety, meaning we acquire protection, we acquire defense from every single attack that comes our way. Can I hear two amens?
Amen.
Amen. I'll take that. Praise God. Is Psalms 91 making a little bit more sense now? Do you know what it's like now to dwell, to abide? Do you know where the secret place is that we're referring to right now? Would you be okay if I said it is the heart of God?
Yes.
It is the center of God's love, His heart that is for us. And mind you, all that you have to say is this. All that you have to declare is that Jesus is the Son of God. And believe in your heart and love Him with all of your heart, and you are automatically right there. You are abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
I pray that these words, that the word of the Lord will strengthen you, that these words will help you with your day-to-day. I equally want to say that it's very important for us to abide in unity and abide in love. There's no room for anything else. There is no room for strife, for bickering. There's only room for love and even more love over top of that. Amen?
Amen.
It is when we abide in God's love that we find protection from the enemy and every single attack out there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, as we commonly say, we love you. We love you, Lord, so very much. And we thank you, Lord, for your instructions. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here in your house. And we thank you, Lord, how your Holy Spirit speaks to us, Lord, through your word and on a daily day basis. I pray, Lord, that the saints, I pray, Lord, that the servants of the Lord will continually abide in this love. Regardless, Lord, how they feel, regardless of what the world tries to throw at them, regardless of what words may be spoken, regardless, Lord, of every single attack that the enemy might think he is able to target, Lord, I pray that every single one of us, Lord, here tonight, and everyone watching right now on this live stream, I pray, Lord, that they will hold fast to your promises, to hold fast unto you. And I pray, Lord, that they will abide in love and act, Lord, accordingly, as you instruct us to do, Lord, in your holy word. We thank you, Lord, that we have access to your heart through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that it is through Jesus that we can acquire, Lord, this shelter, this safety, this dwelling place. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for doing all that you have done for us to acquire, Lord, this habitation. Lord, we love you, we worship you, and we bless your holy name. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you.
And let us now continue to praise the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Let us give thanks to the Lord for this offering. Father God, we do bless you for this offering, for we are a generous congregation here. We give from the heart because you give us so much. And Lord, from this message, we know that being in this place where we love the way your word says we are to love, then we can be in your secret place. We're in your shadow. We are protected, Lord. And we don't want to come out of that spot. We don't want to crack the door open and peek outside. Because when we are there, the enemy cannot see us. And we are protected. That is your plan. And Lord, you have described, it's been described so well for us that we know how to be there. We thank you for the gift of Jesus that starts it all. We bless you for everything that we do, everything you do. From there, and may we constantly follow your word so we may stay there. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.